Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, January 19th, the Gaza ceasefire agreement goes into effect. The Pope appeals for parties to immediately respect it and facilitate aid to Gaza. And we shine a spotlight on the brutal reality facing children in Sudan. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. Turning to our top story, the much-anticipated ceasefire in Gaza has come into force after a last-minute delay, with Palestinians beginning to return to the cities they fled. Nathan Morley reports.
Thousands of displaced people in Gaza, clutching clothes, tents and other belongings, have begun heading back to their homes. The BBC reported that Hamas fighters drove through the southern town of Khan Yunis, cheered by chanting crowds. These people gave their reaction.
I'm very, very happy. I want to go back and kiss the ground and the soil of Gaza. I'm longing for Gaza and longing for our loved ones, and I'm sad for those who left us. I'm very, very happy.
This joy is more beautiful than the joy of Eid, and this is the most beautiful pleasure. I am going to Rafah.
Earlier, this long-awaited ceasefire had been delayed. The Israeli military spokesman, Daniel Hagari, said Hamas had not met the demands of the truce and attacks on Gaza would continue. In fact, before the delay, Sunday had started on plan. Israeli forces commenced withdrawing from the city of Rafah in the Gaza Strip, according to pro-Hamas media. The withdrawal was reportedly towards the Philadelphia corridor along the border with Egypt. However, not long after, during the night, the ceasefire was postponed until Israel received a list of hostages to be released from Hamas. Hamas said in a statement that getting the relevant information took time because internal communication took place via physical messengers, given the lack of electronic communication. At a press conference, the Israeli Foreign Minister, Gideon Saar, said Hamas violated the deal.
Hamas was obliged to provide the names of the first female hostages to be released at 4 p.m. yesterday. They didn't do so. They began violating the agreement before it even went into effect. This was also the case in the previous ceasefire agreement.
Then, on Sunday morning, residents in Gaza reported airstrikes in both the south and north of the Strip. At least 8 people were killed and 25 injured, according to the Palestinian Authority. In a statement, the IDF confirmed carrying out airstrikes, saying the attacks targeted Hamas. The Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, gave a speech on Israeli television on Saturday night. In it, he said that Israel would not give up until Hamas released all hostages. The first phase of the agreement is a temporary ceasefire, he confirmed, saying that the USA supported Israel's right to resume fighting if it did not yield results. However, as it now stands, the ceasefire is underway. In another development, nearly 200,000 Syrian refugees have now returned home since the Assad regime was overthrown last month. This is according to the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. Many of them returned home to Syria from Lebanon even before the regime change. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Nei giorni scorsi è stato annunciato che oggi entrerà in vigore il cessate in fuoco a Gaza.
Pope Francis expressed his gratitude for the Gaza ceasefire agreement, which went into effect today, as well as for Cuba's recent announcement to release prisoners. The Pope's remarks came during his Sunday Angelus address, following the recitation of the midday prayer, as he addressed the thousands of pilgrims in St. Peter's Square and following from afar. Turning first to the Gaza ceasefire agreement, the Pope expressed his heartfelt thanks to the mediators and all those involved who worked to make it possible. Pope Francis expressed his hope that what has been agreed upon will be respected immediately by the parties and that all hostages will finally be able to return home and embrace again their loved ones. I pray a lot for them and their families, Pope Francis said. Moreover, the Pope prayed that the so urgently needed humanitarian aid will be able to arrive in Gaza as soon as possible and in large quantities, and reiterated the Holy See's stance on working toward an eventual two-state solution. Both the Israelis and the Palestinians, Pope Francis insisted, need clear signs of hope. I trust that the political authorities of both of them, with the help of the international community, may reach the right solution for the two states, he said. May everyone be able to say, he hoped, yes to dialogue, yes to reconciliation, yes to peace, as he called on all faithful to pray for the achievement of these three elements. The Pope next expressed his delight for Cuba's announcement this week, stating it will release from prison 553 people convicted of various crimes. The decision was communicated to Pope Francis earlier this month in a letter from Cuba's president, who indicated that the release of prisoners was made in the spirit of the ordinary jubilee of 2025. This, Pope Francis stressed today, is a gesture of great hope that embodies one of the intentions of this jubilee year. I hope, the Holy Father continued, that in the coming months we will continue to undertake initiatives of this type, which instill confidence in the journey of people and populations. In the Holy Father's Bull of Indiction for the Holy Year, the Pope proposed that governments undertake initiatives aimed at restoring hope, forms of amnesty or pardon meant to help individuals regain confidence in themselves and in society, and programs of reintegration in the community, including a concrete commitment to respect for law. Finally, this morning, the Holy Father turned his attention to the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, which runs from the 18th to the 25th of January, before wishing those gathered a good lunch and a good Sunday. In these days of prayer for Christian unity, Pope Francis insisted, let us not cease to invoke from God the precious gift of full communion between all the Lord's disciples. Let us pray always, he invited, for martyred Ukraine, for Palestine, for Israel, for Myanmar, and for all the populations who are suffering because of war. Pope Francis suggested on Sunday that when we lack something, the Lord is ready to come to our aid and exceed our expectations. Pope Francis made this observation to the faithful during his weekly Angelus address on Sunday at noon, as he reflected on the day's gospel reading, according to St. John, which recounts Jesus' first sign of turning water into wine at the wedding at Cana, responding to his mother's request. The Holy Father observed that the episode anticipates and summarizes the entire mission of Jesus, as he recalled how the prophets foresaw that on that day of the Messiah's coming, the Lord would prepare a banquet of choice wines. In this gospel, the Pope said we observe the two elements of lack and superabundance. On one hand, the wine runs out, and Mary says to her son, he remembered, they have no wine. On the other hand, Pope Francis remembered, Jesus intervenes, having six large jars filled, resulting in such an abundance of exquisite wine that the banquet master praises the bridegroom for keeping it until the end. Thus, Pope Francis highlighted, the sign of God is abundance, superabundance, and the abundance of Cana is a sign that God's feast with humanity has begun. When humanity is faced with need, the Pope emphasized, God always responds, and never meagerly, but rather always with the superabundance of his love. The Pope went on to suggest that even at the banquet of our lives, we sometimes realize that wine is missing, especially when worry troubles us, fears assail us, or destructive forces of evil rob us of our taste for life, of joy, and of hope. Yet in the face of this lack, Pope Francis said, the Lord abundantly pours out his love, bringing into our lives the wine of the Holy Spirit, which is the wine of joy and hope, and gives it to us in abundance. The Holy Father observed how it seems somewhat contradictory to think that the more we lack, the more superabundantly the Lord responds. But, Pope Francis explained, it is because the Lord wishes to celebrate with us. Pope Francis concluded before reciting the midday Angelus prayer by urging the faithful to pray that the Virgin Mary might likewise intercede for us, and in this jubilee year, help us rediscover the joy of encountering her Son, the Lord Jesus. Now, in this Sunday broadcast, we wish to put a spotlight on the brutal reality facing children in Sudan due to the war, which was brought particularly to light by the UN's Children's Fund, UNICEF. Let's listen to this report of Lisa Zingarini.
The scale of the tragedy in Sudan is difficult to overstate. Devastating violence and insecurity erupted in April 2023, forcing millions of families from their homes. Sudan, the UN Children's Fund illustrated in a statement, is now grappling with the biggest child displacement crisis in the world, with an estimated 5 million children forced from their homes. More than 1 million have fled across the country's borders. Many refugees, returnees and internally displaced children and women are arriving in areas that were already home to vulnerable and underserved communities who were struggling with multiple crises. In 2023, Sudan saw the highest number of verified grave violations against children in more than a decade, including the killing and maiming of children, sexual violence and the recruitment and use of children by armed groups. The impact of this violence and massive displacement is being compounded by disease outbreaks, hunger, malnutrition, and restricted humanitarian access, a lethal combination that has already claimed thousands of lives. Sudan is facing a devastating hunger catastrophe on a scale not seen since the Darfur crisis in the early 2000s. Unlike that crisis, the present emergency spans the whole country, with catastrophic levels of hunger even reaching the capital, Khartoum, and Jazeera State, once Sudan's breadbasket. Meanwhile, cramped and unsanitary living conditions for displaced families, exacerbated by heavy rains and flooding, mean diseases can spread more quickly. Sudan is grappling with multiple disease outbreaks, including malaria, dengue fever, measles and rubella. In August 2024, Sudan's Federal Ministry of Health declared a cholera outbreak. The combination of these outbreaks and soaring rates of severe acute malnutrition, which leaves children more vulnerable to disease, is creating a perfect storm for a catastrophic loss of children's lives. Meanwhile, children and their family members injured in the violence continue to pour into health facilities, placing an ever greater strain on a health system teetering on the verge of collapse, whether trapped between the front lines, forced from their homes, or witnessing their communities torn apart. Children's lives in Sudan have been turned upside down. With around 17 million children not in school, the war could have a generational impact on the lives of these children. I am Lisa Zingarini.
In the United States, on Monday, the inauguration of President Donald Trump is scheduled for noon Eastern time. On Monday, when Trump will take the presidential oath of office inside the rotunda of the Capitol building. After the cold weather prompted organizers to move the ceremony indoors, approximately 25,000 law enforcement personnel will be on hand to provide security. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va and also catch the latest updates on our social platforms of X, Instagram, and Facebook. Many thanks go to our sound engineer, Gabriele Di Domenico, in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. Thank you for joining us today.